Chapter 5. Nath abandoned his horse and trudged into the forest with the scabbard of Fang in his hand. He eyed the finely crafted hilt of the blade. Ornate dragon heads, with gemstone eyes, stared back at him. He leaned it against a tree and stepped away. Fang hadn't been kind to him of late. He rubbed his palms. He could still feel Fang's burning hilt in his grips. This sword with a mind of its own had been made for him. But something was wrong. The great blade didn't like him anymore. Not since his last long hibernation and change. He rubbed his chin, kneeled down, and eyed it.
"Fang,"
he said. He grumbled and stood back up.
"Oh, what am I doing?"
Fang had always been unpredictable. It unloaded its great powers when it wanted to, and not when Nath wanted to. He'd never had control of it.
"They say I'm unpredictable, too. Perhaps that's it."
Nath walked over to the sword, took a breath, and pulled it out of its sheath. The metal was cool on his palm.
"That's better,"
he said. He cut the weapon through the air in circles.
"Much better. Ouch!"
He jammed the blade into the ground and blew on his hands.
"Blast you, Fang! I'm your master. You are not mine."
He kicked some pine needles off the ground.
"Oh, I don't need you anyway. I can do this without you."
He ripped a hunk of wood from a tree.
"Stupid sword!"
Nath was angry. He was hurt more. It seemed that Fang didn't trust him anymore. Even worse, Fang was a blade that his father made for him. It was special. Fang's resistance reminded him of his failures. It didn't like the bad inside him.
"I'm not evil,"
he said, through clenched teeth. He took a seat and leaned back against a tree.
"This is no way for a man to behave."
He rubbed his side. That nasty little splinter in his ribs started to bother him. He combed back his mane.
"Oh, great."
Earlier in the day, Nath had felt all powerful. Stronger, faster, invincible. His confidence had risen to new heights when he beat the gray scaler. But there were more dangerous things in Nelsimbor than gray scalers. What if there had been two of them? Could he have handled them both?
"I am strong, but I'm not wise."
He needed every advantage to protect himself. And more importantly, his friends. He needed all of his friends. Fang, in particular.
"What good is a sword that you cannot hold?"
He eyed the sword.
"Father made you for me, didn't he?"
Nath got up and pulled his shoulders back.
"Didn't he?"
His father's strong voice echoed in his head.
"You make things to serve yourself as well as others."
Nath stretched out his fingers and held them close to the hilt.
"I'm not letting go this time, Fang,"
he said, bringing his fingers closer.
"Not even if my hands catch fire."
He wrapped up the hilt and squeezed. His fingers felt like they were cauterizing in fire. He screamed. Wood burned. A small campfire glowed and crackled. All the faces around it were glum. Bezog huddled in his tattered robes. Brenwar sulked and grunted. Nath Dragon was gone again.
"He said he'd be back,"
Ben said, turning a spit of elk meat over the fire.
"And at least he left us dinner."
He smiled at Brenwar.
"Lordy, that was something."
Brenoir huffed and chewed on a hunk of meat. The dwarfen warrior looked like he'd fought 1,000 battles in a day. His black beard was raggedy, and his chest plate was dented and beaten. The remnants of his clothes were in tatters, and his boots had holes in them.
What are you staring at, man?
Brenoir said, ripping off a hunk of flesh with his teeth from the bone.
You don't like what you're seeing? Don't like my boots? They're 2 years old, you know, and just worn through.
Don't man me, dwarf,
Ben said.
I don't want to hear all your fussing. You should be grateful Dragon is alive. I know I am.
Ah, yes. You're just so giddy. A child playing with fire.
What are you talking about?
Ben said. He wanted to shake Brenoir.
I see that look in your eyes, human,
Brenoir said, slipping his hand onto Warhammer's handle.
You think you can tangle with me, do you?
I'm just making conversation,
Ben said, getting to his feet.
But if you want to...
I think that is quite enough,
Bezog interjected. He'd been sitting quietly, eyeing the flames.
We have to focus on our enemies, not making enemies of one another.
Ben resumed his seat on the grass, eyeing Brenoir.
Don't you stick your lip out at me,
Brenoir growled.
Brenoir, you'd bicker with a tree,
Ben said, fixing a piece of meat.
And I'd win.
Only a dwarf would claim to win an argument with a tree,
Bezog said. Brenoir glared at him. Bezog raised his palms.
And I see nothing wrong with that.
Bezog rubbed the amulet under his robes. It was times like this he missed Sasha and his sons the most. He hadn't seen them in a long time. And that wasn't so bad for the elf in him. But the human inside him missed his wife. Every time he got to see her, she had changed so much.
Focus, wizard. Focus.
Brenoir,
Bezog said.
Why don't you finish telling me about Nath's father?
No.
Well, tell us about Dragon Home.
You mean the Mountain of Doom?
Ben said.
Brenoir, you've been in it? And you've seen the King Dragon?
Of course I have.
All these years and nobody tells me anything,
Ben said, frowning.
Stop complaining.
Brenoir huffed.
And you didn't ask, did you?
Well, it would have been nice to have known,
Ben said.
Dwarfs don't gossip.
It's not gossip. It's just conversation among friends. I'd like to have some understanding of who and what I'm fighting for.
Brenoir stiffened.
If you don't know what you're fighting for, then you shouldn't be fighting.
Well,
Ben said,
I've been fighting so long, I guess I've lost track of all that. Please remind me.
Wizard,
Brenoir said, tossing an elk bone away.
You fill him in. My mouth is too sore for this chatter.
Yeah, but it's not too sore for eating,
Ben said. Brenoir got up, clenched his fists, and disappeared into the woods.
You'd think,
Ben said,
given his years, he'd be less temperamental.
Bezog opened his mouth to speak, but Ben cut him off.
I know. He's a dwarf.
Bezog liked Ben, but he envied the man, too. Ben had faith in Nath, much more than he did. Bezog had doubt, concern, and those were not good things.
Ben, evil destroys love, joy, and peace. Wouldn't you agree, based off what you've seen?
I know,
Ben said, shaking his head.
I know. It's not patient or kind or good, so to speak.
And it lacks self-control. It lies, twists. It digs at each and every one of us.
Bezog sighed.
But we have to resist those temptations it offers. Ben, I miss my family. I love them more than anything. And there is nothing I'd rather do than go home and huddle with them and let the world end how the world ends. But I can't.
Ben bobbed his head.
Well, You could,
Ben said.
But I understand. I had a family, too, only to see those minions take them. If I'd been there, then maybe I could have saved them. It eats at me every day. I miss them.
So why do you fight?
Bezog said.
Why do you go on?
Because I don't want other families to go through what I went through. I want to help end this. I want peace on Nelsimbor again.
Then you do know why you fight this war. Your reasoning is sound and wise. You are a good friend, Ben.
You think we'll win?
Ben asked.
All I know is that we have to.